to be in church, to be in your appointment. God's here. Yeah. Praise the Lord, God's here. And you just never know when God has something so wonderful for you. Well, let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight or this morning. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for the Word of God. Help us this morning. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, give a word to every single person here that is pertinent to what they're going through, that hits the bullseye of their situation, their circumstance. Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise. It's not the name of the church, and it's certainly not the name of the minister. It's all because of Jesus and all because of the Holy Ghost. And so we thank you for the move of the Spirit this morning. We thank you for revelation and impartation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open to James chapter 3. Just like a minute here, I'm going to talk about what I mentioned last week, and we're going to build upon it. But it's important stuff that we talked about last week. Amen. James 3 and verse 13, of course, we told you how to invite the devil over for a party, didn't we? You want the devil over at your house, we know how to invite him. James 3:13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife," there's that word, right? Yeah. What is strife? Strife is discord. Strife is animosity. Strife is hostility. Bad blood, walking out of love, that's strife. And so the Bible says if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, or don't brag about that. And lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above. Well, if it doesn't come from above, then we know it's coming from below. Right. It's earthly. It's sensual and it's devilish, or you could say it this way, like the devil. Well, then look at what verse 16 says. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." If you want the devil into your life, which I don't know why you would, but if you do, just go ahead and fill out an invitation. You don't even have to put anything else on except the word strife. Just let them know there's going to be strife at the party. So, ooh, I got to come to that. That's a magnet, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Kind of like if when I go on a cruise someday, the all-night pizza buffet is going to be a magnet. It's going to just draw me right to it at all hours of the day. Praise God. And strife will do that to the devil. If you want to get into strife, you want to be bitter and envying and strife and have bad blood and unforgiveness and arguing, you want to be that person, you go ahead and be that person. But just get ready to have a party with old Satan, because he's coming in. Where confusion, where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. That's why before you enter into that strife with somebody else, before you enter into that walking out of love, remember we saw in the Word that love, right? Galatians 5:6 says that our faith works or is activated and energized by love. Right? And we saw that the faith is the only thing that keeps the devil away from you. The shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. Well, the shield of faith only works when love is powering it. So you take love away and you enter into strife. Your shield goes down and the devil comes in and has his way. So if you want to do that, you can, but I don't know why you would want to. So before you enter into strife, before you enter into walking out of love, before you enter into that argument, before you enter into that bitterness, before you enter into that unforgiveness and thinking about that over and over in your head and the wrong thoughts, going out of your way to hurt someone, being short, being snippy, being a carnal bucket, before you do that, you remember, do I want the devil in my life? Because if you do, that's how you do it. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Yeah. See, the peacemakers aren't pride bags. What's a pride bag? Well, I need to be right. I need to be justified. I need to let the world know that I was done wrong and I need to get back at them. No, humbleness says, I'll just forbear them. I'll forgive them, just like Jesus, because I got the love of God in my heart, because it's more important that I stay in the love of God. Amen? People that are wise will know that. But that's what we're going to kind of build on today. But not only just the love walk, it'll also help your faith. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Well, that was sure a humdinger of an intro. Thank you, Pastor, for slapping us around a little bit. Well, that'll get you ready. You ever see like a boxer before? Somebody, man, they're just back there shaking them up, hitting them in the face. Get them ready. Get them fired up. Getting you fired up this morning. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. It's in here somewhere. We're trying to help. My heart is for people. You know, these are the kind of messages that empty the seats in churches. These aren't the kind of messages that will build the churches to have huge numbers. But I'm not here to be popular or to have the biggest church in town. I'm here to be the most faithful church in town. Amen? That's my goal. Praise God. And I just love people too much to not tell them the truth and what can help them and what can hurt them. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1 says, "And I, brethren," this is Paul talking to the church, He said, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes or babies in Christ. So there's a difference between the spiritual man and the carnal man. The spiritual man does things God's way, goes in God's direction. The carnal man does things the flesh way and the world's way. And we know this, that the Bible likens a carnal person to a natural baby. Do you see that? He said, even as unto babes, I had to speak to you like I'd speak to a baby. He said, verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto or up until now you were not able to bear it. Neither now yet are you able. He said, you're staying a baby. If he stays, if he's 10 and still doing 5-year-old things, that's a problem. If Abby gets to be 6 and is still doing 2-year-old things, that's a problem. This church should have been farther along. And Paul says, I can't give you spiritual things. I can't give you the meat of the word, the thing that's going to nourish you, that's going to strengthen you, because you're still in the babyhood stage. He said, so I've still fed you with milk. Verse 3, for you are yet, or you're still carnal, or you could say it this way, you're still big babies. For whereas, now this is going to locate us today. For where there is still among you envying, oh man, strife, divisions, are you not carnal? Or you can insert that word, are you not still a baby? And walk as mere men. Now, wow, it's just getting worse and worse. Hey, we're just going after it today. Babies are carnal. What is carnality? Carnality is being ruled by the flesh. The opposite of that, spiritual, being ruled by the Word of God. And babies, we know, they just don't seem to act. They act like babies, like a baby's supposed to. But we can't keep acting like that and expect to thrive in society. When you're at your job and you get hungry, that's not the appropriate response. Right? That's not, you don't get your own way sulking and punching stuff and pouting lip. That's not going to help you in life. Amen? You know, when babies are hungry, they act a certain way. They act along with their flesh, right? When little children, you know, have somebody do something against them, a lot of times the response is to retaliate. That's how children act, to retaliate. When things don't go their way, and I'm going to tell them, my little buddy here this morning, when things don't go their way, they like to sulk. The other night, my in-laws were over, and I guess he wasn't putting away his leap pad. Right? You wanted to listen to your leap pad, didn't you? But they're trying to hear the television. And so when they were, something was going on, just told to put it away. You did. Then he said, buddy, he's told. That's unacceptable. But that's how young people and children act. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, unfortunately, Christians still act like big babies. Amen. When things don't go their way, oh, you know it. They sulk. They get grumpy. They get testy, right? When somebody does something against them, instead of walking in love and letting it go off like water off a duck's back, they make sure to retaliate in their words, in their actions, in their thoughts, in the way they talk about that person. All you're saying is, I still need a diaper. All you're saying is, where's my pacifier? Where's my blankie? When you act carnal, when you act like this, you are showing yourself spiritually. Now, here's the problem with it. It's not that we need to get our mindset off of this in the body of Christ. God loves us no matter what our actions are. Now, he might be more disappointed or more pleased in things that we do, but as far as his steadfast, unchanging love, it's not going to ever be any different whether you grow up or don't grow up. So we're not talking about doing it out of a place where God's looking at us and just mad at us and doesn't love us anymore. Now, but why it's a problem is because when you act carnal, you're not going to act spiritual. You're not going to act in line with love. And that's going to hurt your faith. When you act carnal, when things don't go your way, A faith person does not sulk. Faith would be a spiritual person. A faith person would be a spiritual person. They don't sulk. They don't grumble. They don't complain. They don't start treating people bad. They don't get short with their spouses. They don't get short with their family members. They don't treat everyone around. Isn't it amazing? The people closest to us, sometimes we can treat the worst. But yet we'll put on a show in public. That's a character and integrity problem. Who you are in private is who you are. In church is not who you are. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, who you are when nobody is watching is who you are. Yeah. And when we're carnal and living this way, I mean, we're just babies at times. And it doesn't help us because you'll never be a faith giant. You'll never be a love giant that's able to... here's the thing. When it comes to Caleb and Abby, he's 5, she's 2. There's things that I can start to do now with him that I cannot do with her because she's still 2 years old. Don't you think that God... what an honor to be used by God. Because when we get to heaven, all the things we're chasing in the earth is going to be meaningless. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy it, but the things we're striving and chasing after, we ought to be chasing after Him. We ought to be chasing after His kingdom. And don't you think, and to be used in the last days by Him in any capacity is an honor. Is an honor. Praise God. Albert, you were used this morning by God. The Lord specifically told me, have Him share that. It'll bless the people. And did it bless you? Amen. It fed you. Amen. God used him this morning. God wants to use us. But don't you think that when God's looking over the things that he needs to do, don't you think he's going to pick out the ones he can trust? The ones that are not the big babies, the ones that are the faith giants, the ones that are more grown up. Why would I ask Abby to do something that she's just not able to do because she's just a little baby? She's just a little girl. She can't do it. There's things I can do with him. Same way with an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old. There's things they can do that Caleb can't do. As they grow up, they're able to be used more, to do more. You stay in that babyhood stage. Not only is it going to affect your faith, because it affects your love walk, which will affect your receiving, you're not going to be used very much by God. Oh, can't trust them. One little thing goes wrong, they have the thinnest skin. They're just the touchiest little thing. I've learned in ministry... you better have some thick skin because people can sure be awful at times. And you just got to keep right on plugging and going. Amen? And so, who's he got? Oh, nope, you know, one little thing. Oh, they're going to need to use faith in that. And I see how they act when things go wrong. And there's going to be opposition for us. Can't choose them. What I'm trying to say is he's going to pass over babies for adults. Why would you want a baby to do something that an adult needs to do? And God needs mature spiritual word people that are not carnal buckets, that are not driven every which way by their emotions and their flesh. Hallelujah. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. What you need to know is this love walk. It's interesting that when God told me, I remember going around the corner by those nice houses when or old house court where we used to live in the nice section where it got wooded outside of Jamestown. And I remember going around there and praying about the churches. And it was just about this church at the time because I didn't know about Olean at that time. And it was walking just Wrigley. We didn't have Willow yet. And God spoke to me. He said, your church will major in two areas. Faith and love. Faith and love. Faith and love. Faith and love. Well, they go hand in hand. Love walk is everything. Yeah. Right? Paul said these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is so important. And faith pleases God. So it's interesting he said that we're going to major on the two things that are probably the two most important themes in the whole New Testament. Doesn't mean we won't touch on other things and hit on other things, but these are the areas that we're going to major on. Praise God. And you have to understand that this love walk thing that your life is governed by, again, do what you want to. Be a grump, carnal bucket, fleshly person who returns railing for railing, who talks behind people's back, you can do that if you want to, but you're not going to have any faith. And you're not going to be used by God. Amen? So let's change. But you need to know this love walk that we're governed by and this faith life that we're called to live by and everything is, it's not based on feelings. And the mature people will get past the feelings part of love and the feeling part of faith and move into a higher realm or a higher place to be able to receive from God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, what is sight? Sight is the sense realm. The feelings, right? what we can see, what we can touch. And a lot of times, our love walk, which is a direct connection to our faith walk, right? You can't have faith without love. You just can't do it. Your faith will be non-existent. We saw that last week. I encourage everybody to go listen and go listen again to last week. You cannot have a faith life without a love life, love walk life. And so here's the thing. These things are not governed by what you see and feel. Because your love walk has to stay steady when everything in your flesh and in your mind and the way people are treating you is treating you exactly contrary to what love is. Yet your love walk has to stay steady. Even in the midst of the world being nasty to you, and even Christians at times can be some of the most nasty ones, even in the midst of that, and when things don't go your way, you still have to stay steady on your love walk. No matter what your spouse is doing, no matter what your coworkers are doing, no matter what your friends are saying and doing, your love walk, if you want to stay in faith, has to stay steady. Because you're called to love even when the people are unlovable. Because you're governed by the agape, the unconditional God kind of love, which loves no matter what. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? He loved us when the people he was loving were being very unlovable to him. He said, you better walk in love. Better walk in love. Okay, so we see that love cannot be dominated by feelings, because there's times that your flesh, and you might be facing it right now, that your mind and your flesh are going to tell you, retaliate, talk bad, act different, don't be loving back, and you can't do that. A mature person will get above beyond the carnality of, oh, I got to return it, I got to get him back. A mature person will get above that and say, I need to stay steady in my love walk. Too much depends on it. The carnal bucket, oh, they'll just enter right in, start backbiting, start grumbling, start being a busybody, start talking, start calling everyone else, start posting bad things. That's what a carnal bucket does. God looks at you and says, oh, I can't use that, I'm carnal bucket. Hallelujah. So love is not cannot be governed by our feelings. We don't walk by what we see and feel. Well, our faith life is the same thing. There are going to be times on the earth, and you might be facing them now, when what's going on in the natural realm, what you can taste, what you can feel, what you are experiencing is as real as, I mean, you can put the hand on the checkbook that's empty. You can put a hand on all the bills that are stacked to the ceiling. You can put a hand on a doctor's report that tells you something awful. You can touch that stuff. You can feel that in your body. Yet you're governed to believe the Word of God above what you feel. And in fact, if you go by what you feel and take the report of what you feel in your body and what you feel in your finances and what you can see in your circumstances, and you take that as truth, you won't be a faith giant, because faith is of the unseen realm. Yeah. Yeah. Talked about last night in Olean, having the eye of faith. The eye of faith is willing or is able to look beyond the natural, which is, you're broke, it's real. Yeah. Is able to look beyond the natural. You're sick, the symptoms are there, the doctor's report is there. To look beyond the job situation and with relationships, that's able to look beyond that into the unseen realm. The unseen realm, even though this is on a page and we can see the ink, the Word of God is the unseen realm. Jesus said, my words are spirit, they are life. So just because we can touch the Bible, where this originated and was spoken from, the power of the Word came from that unseen realm. And the people that are faith giants will be able to look through the poverty to Philippians 4:19 and be governed by that verse and not by their poverty. Yeah. The people that are faith giants will be able to look beyond the symptoms and the doctor's report to Isaiah 53:4-5, to Psalms 100 and verse 1-3, 2 Peter 5:2-20, right? We'll be able to look beyond those things to the unseen realm of the Word and say, I'm governed by that. But the people that are carnal buckets and feeling, oh, symptoms in my body, not healing must not be for me. Oh, finances are going bad. I'm going to pout and be grumpy about that. Oh, this is going on in my job. This is going on with my kids. Can't be governed by that. The giants that God is going to use, the ones that are going to be dominant on this earth, not only is it for the kingdom's sake, it's for your sake, are the ones that are going to walk in love no matter what and are going to have faith no matter what comes their way. For we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. And when you're carnal, when you go by your feelings, Paul said you're still in the babyhood stage. Still in the babyhood stage. Hallelujah. So, I want to talk to you about a few areas this morning. Won't even take that long. Few areas about bringing this out. Important things that show us that God has required us to not go by our feelings. Amen? What about spiritual disciplines. I love what Albert said and how he said, I was watered by the Word Sundays and Wednesdays. Got a Word from God. That's why I bang the drum on these things. That's why we have books of the month. That's why we have guest ministers. Because the more watered of the Word you are, the more you're going to grow. The more you're going to thrive. They that be planted in the house of the Lord, Psalm 92:13, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Some people just aren't planted. Some people are kind of like one in, one out. No, planted as you are there, you're not going anywhere. As much as you can be there when the doors are open, you're there because you recognize it's not about coming in and getting my name checked off a religious checklist for God. It's coming in and getting watered. Yeah. Having a recognition that I need to be watered supernaturally by the Word. That's maturity. Yeah. Hallelujah. The person that recognizes, I need a pastor. The person that recognizes, I need to hear the Word of God. I need to be in church among the saints. I need to be in a corporate setting. I need to do those. That's a mature person. Amen. They recognize that. Why? Because that's what the Word says. Well, what about our personal time? We know that spending time in Sunday morning, and that's the only time we get with God, that's not going to cut it. Not because He's any less or more pleased with us, but because the Bible says that the Word of God is like faith food. Well, we know naturally you can't just eat one meal a day. Or one meal a day, and that's it for the whole week, right? You have to constantly be feeding your body. Amen. So we know that if you don't have a prayer life, how are you going to hear from heaven if you're not in a consistent time where you're spending time with Him, hearing from God? People say, I just wish God would come closer to me. No, your job is to come closer to Him. Right. Draw near unto Him, and He'll draw near unto you, He said. He's there. He's waiting for you to be diligent about seeking Him. Then He'll start rewarding you with some things. See, God's not chasing you down. If you don't want to spend time with Him, He won't force you. But people that aren't in consistent prayer, if they're not hearing from the Holy Ghost, they're just kind of playing lottery with their life. Well, I think this is God. I hope this is God. I'm sure gonna. We'll just play the odds here and hope this is God. You don't even know if it's God. Well, you can know if it's God if you spend time with Him. So these things of spiritual disciplines, spending time with the Lord, being faithful to come to church and get watered, being in the Word of God outside of these four walls, recognizing this is food for your spirit. You dominate out of your spirit. You reign out of your spirit because the devil's a spirit. And that's the war we're in, is with him. And we need to be strong and built up in those areas. Spiritual disciplines. The mature Christian will do those things regardless of how they feel. Amen. The mature Christian will go to church when they realize that they don't feel like going, and everything in them tells them they don't want to go, but the mature Christian will realize, I don't have an option. This is what we do. This is what God has said, right? The mature Christian will recognize, I need God. I need God. I need to spend time with Him. I need to be in the Word. It's not going to cut it. They'll realize that, and then they'll be sitting there at nighttime or during their week or whatever, and everything in them won't feel like it, but they'll do it anyways because that's maturity. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. You need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that you got to get past being a feeling person. Oh, how feelings have got people into trouble. Right? David got in a whole heap of trouble because he felt something in his body. He did not go by the Word of God, right? He saw Bathsheba, right? Didn't go by that. Got in a whole. How many times people get in trouble because we go by our feelings to just act, or, oh, you know what? I don't really feel like driving all the way to Fredonia for that guest ministry. I don't feel like maybe having to stay up a little bit later tonight. And a word was given. And stuff was said that could change your life, but you didn't feel like going. I didn't feel like going on Sunday. I was tired. I don't know how that's going to fly when you're standing before the King of Kings and he's got holes in his hands, holes in his feet, a hole in his side, and scars on his head. Just wasn't tired to hear what. Just too tired to hear what you had to say to me, Father. Now don't get me in a ditch. We know there are times that it's warranted. We understand, but we're talking about just being this ragdoll feeling of a Christian that you just go whichever way the wind blows, whichever way your feelings tell you. Oh, you're up today. Let me tell you something. If you're that kind of a person, let me just tell you, you might not know this, but everybody around you is walking on eggshells. Because is it today a up day for them or is it a down day? Because if it's a down day, oh, I know I'm going to get it. Oh, I know I'm going to get it. And if that's the way you want to be the type of person that sprinkled all these eggshells and all this broken glass around and have people tiptoe around you, I'll tell you what, that's a miserable person to be around. I hope to heck that I have not made that for anybody in my life. Oh my gosh, I don't want to be that way. I don't want people to have to be so careful that they're going to hurt my feelings. They're so touchy. That's a horrible way to be. And it makes people miserable to want to be around you. So I encourage you to change. But you're just one of these ragdoll people that up one day, down the next. 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 No, that's carnal. That's carnality. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Boy, I hope y'all brought your steel toes today, because man, we're really just getting after it. But this will help you. Staying carnal and staying being a baby does not help you. Like I said, if he's 10 years old and acting 5, that's not helpful. That's not helpful. There's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. We need to figure something out here. What's going on? Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth," one translation says, "warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So the Bible gives us an indicator, which helps me, that your flesh and your spirit are opposite to one another. They battle. They are in a war together. What does your flesh want to do? Act carnal. Your flesh wants to act like a baby. Your flesh wants to return railing for railing. Your flesh wants to sulk. Your flesh wants to be lazy. Your flesh doesn't want to do spiritual disciplines. Your spirit, however, always wants to be in church. Your spirit always wants to be around the Word of God. Your spirit always wants to be in communication with Him. But the flesh and the spirit are battling each other. The flesh is just battling for that time. And so when you realize and understand, it will set you free, that you don't have to feel like praying to pray and to be something that makes progress. Doesn't the Bible say that he that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself? Doesn't it say that? Does it say that he that prayeth in an unknown tongue and feels really good while doing it edifies himself? No. I just got to do it. I just got to do it, right? He that's in the Word of God meditating and shall get goosebumps and have tears running down and just shall be so easy, shall get something out of it. No. I can eat, right, and not feel like, I mean, think about people that are training for things and they eat some of the most blandest stuff, right, for their body. They don't feel like eating that, but when they eat that, they get the benefits from it. You can get on a treadmill and run for 4 miles at the same speed one day and feel like it, the next day not feel like it, but you did the same speed, same distance, and you got the same results, even though you didn't feel like it. And the mature Christian, not the carnal bucket, will recognize, I don't go to church based on my feelings. I go because that's what God has said. I don't spend time with Him based on an ooey-gooey emotional goosebump. I do it because I need Him. I don't get in the Word because it just feels natural, and it's just, you know, sometimes just the most funnest and entertaining book to read in the world. No, you know, it's the most spiritual and the one that's going to help you the most. That's why you do it. And this helps me, because I'm here to tell you, and I was set free when my pastor, who to me is the most spiritual man on the face of the planet, said, "Pastor Mike, 90-some%, I can't remember the exact number he said, of things that I do, I don't feel like doing." Because he'll pray for hours, he'll be in the Word for hours, I don't feel like doing that. I feel like sitting around doing nothing. Well, I don't know about you. That's how I always feel. Like sitting around doing nothing except putting my hand in a bag of chips and eating and watching television. Anybody else with me? Am I the only one? That's what I feel like doing. That's what my flesh wants to do. That's what I'm geared naturally to want to do. To pick up the Bible, to turn the TV off, to go set myself aside, prayer with God, and let me just cue you, and I love seeing you, but if you think it's the easiest thing and the thing I feel like doing the most on Saturday nights, Sunday mornings, Tuesday nights, and Wednesday, getting all ready, stopping what I'm doing, driving to church, stopping my whole day to get ready for a service and all the other things that's going on in life, I don't always feel like coming here. And you don't either. You don't either. Right? We love each other, but we don't always feel like it. But who cares what our feelings say? We're not governed by our feelings. And until you realize that, you're not going to step into the maturity stage and start, every time a little feeling comes along, you give into that. Can't do that. Can't do that. I remember I had a cousin who was going through the fire, and it was all over. You could tell. She was just really getting short with me and just, you know, really snippy. Her love lot was going down the drain. And I said to her, I said, "What's your prayer and word time?" Because all prayer and word time is God time. Sure. Amen. Jesus said He is the Word. God is the Word. So when you're reading the Bible, you're just spending time with God. when you're meditating in the Word. And I said, what's your prayer and word time been like? Because I know this, Moses, when he went into the presence of God, came out changed. He had God's glory written all over his face. And I said, you don't have much glory written on you. She said, it's non-existent, Pastor Mike. And I said, well, let me see if this helps you at all. And the Lord gave me this. I'm not smart enough. I've told you this before, that I'm not smart enough to come up with this, and it's a good thing that he gave me this. I said, your mom. I said, she has dialysis for her kidneys. And she has to do those dialysis treatments all throughout the day, doesn't she? She said, yeah. So she has to wake up sometimes in the middle of the night to do them, doesn't she? Yeah. I said, what does that dialysis do for her? Keeps her healthy and keeps her alive? Well, what do you think that the Word of God and spending time with God and being faithful in church, what do you think that stuff does for you? Keeps you healthy, keeps you strong, right? And so I said, so your mom relies on that dialysis, right? Yeah. Is she faithful to that dialysis? Yeah, she has no choice. I said, what happens? Well, she won't be strong and she'll end up dying. And I said, well, does your mom always have an ooey-gooey feeling that she wants to do dialysis? Does she like when she's in the mall and she has to all of a sudden stop and go somewhere separate and do that? Does she like setting an alarm in the middle of the night, waking up and doing that dialysis treatment? Does she like when she's at a gathering and she has to get away and separate herself to do that and stop what she's doing? Does she like doing that? Does she feel like doing that? And she said, no. I said, but does she do it anyways? Yeah, her life depends on it. Bingo. Amen. I said, look at the Word like that to her. And she said, that changes everything. Yeah. Right? It's no longer based on, I feel like going, I don't feel like going. Just know this, the majority of time, you're not going to feel like doing God's ways. Why? Because your flesh is telling you, no, don't do this. Don't do this. Do things that help me and feed me. Because when you read the Word, you're not feeding your flesh, you're feeding your spirit, and your flesh is like, stop it, stop it. When you go to church, your flesh is being put under. But see, those carnal bucket Christians that are flesh buckets, they just go by however they feel. And you're not going to be getting very far with God that way. And you're not going to be used very much by God that way. Amen? Go to Matthew 5:44. Wow, we need to fly by here. Took a long time on that one. Matthew 5:44. I'm not going to... We'll be out here before 11:30. Don't you worry. Matthew 5:44. Matthew 5 and verse 44. Talking about the love walk. Kind of piggybacking off of last week. It says this. But I say unto you... Well, go to verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what our flesh would want to say. But I say unto you, love, or agape, God kind of love, the unconditional kind of love. He said, I say, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's what the Word says. Now, a carnal bucket... When someone came up to me after service one time and said, what in the world did you say, carnal bucket? Yeah, you're just a bucket full of carnality. That's all you are. Just a big bucket full of carnality. A carnal bucket, that's what I mean by that, someone that is flesh and feeling dominated, they won't do these kind of things. When people are wrong to them, they want to be wrong back. They don't want to bless someone that's persecuted them. They don't want to do good to those that have despitefully used you and done wrong things to them. But that's what love would do. And you say, well, what's the big deal? It keeps you in faith. Your love walk keeps you in faith. No longer you say, well, they did this to me, so I have a right. No, you don't. The only right you have is to love them. Amen. Owe no man anything except to love him. You have a debt to mankind. Yeah. The most unlovable and the most lovable. You have a debt to them. It's called love. That's what the Word says. Amen. Praise God. But let me ask you about verse 44 that will help you. Love your enemies, okay? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. That's strong. And pray for them. Actually get down in a spiritual exercise that your flesh already doesn't want to do because it's prayer. And then take it a step further and actually pray for people that good would come to the ones that are actually hurting you. Now let me ask you a question. What in you is ever going to feel like doing that? Nothing. You are never going to... They just said the most nastiest things about me, and I just feel like being kind to them. Oh, let's go out and get them a gift card, and let's pray. Let's all join hands and pray for those ones that are cussing me out and just saying the nastiest things. You're never going to feel like that, right? You're never going to feel like that. But notice that Jesus said, do it anyways. That's the mark of a spiritual person. You take the feelings out of the equation, and you're governed by the Bible. People say, what, I'm supposed to be a robot? Yes. a Bible-doing robot. If you'll do that, things will work out for you. People get so in trouble going by their flesh. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Praise His holy name forevermore. Amen. Trying to show you that this faith life, this love walk life, can't be governed by your feelings. Can't go by your feelings. You can if you want to stay a baby. Stay unused and passed over for everything. Have everybody around you be miserable when they're around you. Dread going to see you. Everybody's conversation. Oh, I wonder how fill in the blank is today. Wonder if they're going to be up or down today. Sure hope they're up. Man, I've been around people like that. It's awful. If you want to stay that way, you go right ahead. It's a miserable way to live. Mark 11:23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have what he says." Praise God, we can have what we say. Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you'll have them." 23 says we can have what we say. 24 says we can have what we pray. But verse 25 says, And when you stand praying, and that means it goes in with our saying and our praying. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought, that word ought means anything. If you have anything against any, the Bible says to forgive them. That it's connected to verse 24 and 23. Your faith will not work if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Verse 23 and 24 are dependent on verse 25. If 25 is in place, then 23 and 24 work. Why? Because 25 is just walking in love. Walking in love just enables 23 and 24 to work, which is our faith. Do you see how that all ties together? It's really kind of simple, actually. We're not trying to make it seem harder. Well, let me ask you a question. How often, when people have wronged you, and they have absolutely done you wrong, how often have you felt like being sweet and forgiving them? Probably never. Never just felt it. I mean, when you say feel, I mean just that's the way you were geared naturally to go and that feeling. No. You want to be harsh towards them. You want to payback, right? Revenge. That's not the love of God. That's carnality. That'll keep you unused. That'll keep your faith from working. That'll keep you out of love. Praise God. Your faith is dependent on your love walk. Amen. I have had God tell me, do not pray. I've gone to visit people before, and with the intentions of laying hands on them and praying and transferring that healing anointing, and the Holy Ghost tell me, do not pray for them. They haven't forgiven so-and-so, and they won't, and they'll stay bitter. I have somebody in my life that is gravely sick because of years of bitterness and it going unchecked. How do I know? Because I was so disturbed by what happened to this person that I sought God and said, how could this happen to this person? And the Lord showed me for years they had this grudge and this hate for one single person. So much so that even in a church service, they wouldn't take communion. They went to church. And why aren't you taking communion? Because I hate so-and-so. And I don't feel like it's right. And it went on for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And the power of God didn't work in their life. All unforgiveness is you drinking poison and hoping that other person dies from it. It's not doing anybody any good. It sure ain't doing you any good. And it sure isn't doing your faith any good. Now, on a side note, let me say this. Doesn't it say, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any? Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You're an any. Did you know you're an any? You're an any. That means for your faith to work, you're going to have to forgive yourself. You're an any. You're going to have to stop holding yourself to a standard that you would never hold anybody else to. I remember beating the heck out of myself and the Lord, I got into a tree stand, and this is what the Holy Ghost said to me. He said, counsel yourself out loud in the tree stand right now like you would counsel somebody else. I said, I'm hunting. The deer will hear me. I said that quiet. And the Holy Spirit said, no, do it. So I did, and I didn't hold back, and I didn't care if my hunt was messed up. And I sat down, and I said, Mike, it's good to see you today. And I started, I mean, you had looked at me and thought I was the craziest thing in the world. And I did this in my tree stand. And I said, Pastor Mike, it's good to see you today. Why are you here, Mike? Well, Pastor, this is my problem. This is what happened. And I went on and mentioned all these things that I was just bashing myself, beating myself up over. And you know what? When I counseled myself, the same way I could counsel anybody else, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to tell you it's not over yet. There's forgiveness. We'll pick you back up and we'll go forward. God's a God of forgiveness. He's not holding your past against you. And I began to proceed instead of saying, you dumb idiot, how could you do this? You are the stupidest, because that's what we do. You're so dumb. You're the dumbest person on the face of it. How could you be so stupid? You of all people ought to know better. I didn't do that to myself when I counseled myself because I treated myself like I treat one of the sheep. And I would never talk to anyone that way because that's not the Bible. Now, if the Bible said to beat you up, I'd do it. If the Bible said to call you an idiot and a moron and all those things, I'd do it. But since it doesn't, I go by the Word and it's not over for you. There's forgiveness. You can go forward blemish free. And He doesn't hold it against you. That's what the Word says. And so I began to tell myself that. And man, I began to be uplifted. But see, for your faith to work, you're going to have to forgive yourself. And last but not least, Mark chapter 4. Praise God. He's wonderful. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. For time's sake, I won't read the whole thing. But this is where the disciples went out under the boat and thought they were going to die. We're familiar with this portion of Scripture in this church. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. They got into the middle of the water and a storm rose up and they woke Him up and said, Lord, we're dying. Don't you care? Now, can you imagine, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation like this before. Jesus rebuked them, didn't He? And the thing He rebuked them with that He said that you need in the greatest test and trial of your life is what? Faith. He said, where's your faith? So He said, the thing you need is faith. Now, we don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. So faith and feelings are opposite. But this is what I want you to bring out. That in adversity, when faith is required, our feelings are going to be so loud in the opposite direction of what is called for to get that thing turned around. They were in a situation where they thought they were dying. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a life or death situation. But even when we're not in a life or death situation, when we don't have enough money, that don't feel good. When the doctors had said something about our bodies that is contrary to health, that doesn't feel good. When things are going on in our jobs, but imagine the feelings that would be presented in a life or death situation where you are convinced in your mind, I'm dead. The feelings in your flesh would be so loud and the circumstance would be so real. It'd be like every color in that circumstance would be more vivid than it's ever been before. More outline and detail in that situation, right? It'd be so vibrant, so loud to you. Why? The devil trying to just stir up a storm to get you to grab on to the natural, the seen realm, which we don't walk by. So in that situation, when their feelings were at their heightened sense, where they felt like the worst position they've ever been, the most adversity ever, and their feelings and their flesh were going bonkers, and their eyes were seeing things that were... Their eyes were seeing, and then reports were coming back from their eyes. Oh boy, never seen a storm like this, we're dead. And yet Jesus says, unacceptable, faith is the right response, which faith would say, I don't care what the waves look like. The very waves that are telling me I'm dead, I don't care what the water in the boat is telling me, even though water in the boat means I'm going to sink and die. I don't care what the storm is saying. I'm going through that stuff and look into the Word of God. It shows you that if you're going to be a faith giant, you better get past the feelings. You better get past the natural and the circumstances. 2 million and some people were kept out of a promise because the natural looked hard in the promised land. They went and spied out the land and there were people. There were giants in the land. There were cities. There were already fortresses. And they could touch that stuff. They could grab onto that stuff. And so they saw that stuff and it was so real, so vivid to them that they put all their faith and hope in that and they were kept out of the promise. And God said, that's evil. Yeah. Yet Caleb and Joshua saw the same things, felt the same things, witnessed the same things, but were able to look through that to the Word of God which said, I give you this land. Yeah. They were able to separate their feelings from what the Word says. I don't go by what I feel, I go by what the Bible says. That ought to be your motto. I don't care what I feel, I go by what the Word of God says. That's my final answer, amen? And if you want to go from being carnal and flesh-dominated and feeling-oriented all the time, and God's not nobody's telling you that you can't have feelings, but feelings unchecked turn into doubt and unbelief. No doubt when something happens to you, you're hurt. God understands that. When things come at your door and hell's at your doorstep and it looks hard, there's no doubt that can shake you. But praise God, you don't have to be governed by that. That's when you get into that faith realm as soon as possible, right? And start believing God. So if you want to be someone that's not carnal, it's just very simple. Word, prayer. Word, prayer. God time. God time. God time. God times dialysis, people. God times dialysis for us. When church is open, we're watered. when we need to water ourselves outside of here. We need to spend time with Him outside of here. We need to be in His presence. We need to be like Moses. Yeah. Think about how, and I'll close with this. It's 11:27. I got 3 minutes. I don't know why there's like this secret 11:30 stop time that's in my head or something, but go back and study the story of Jacob and Esau. Esau came back from hunting. And back in the old days, birthright was important. Who was born first in the family had things lined up in that culture. It was super important. And Esau came back from hunting and was hungry. And Jacob was making a pot of stew. And Esau said, "I'm famished. I'm so hungry, I'm going to die." Now, how many times have we said that? It ain't true. "I'm starving to death." "No, you're not. You look just fine." Right? Praise the Lord. "You're not starving to death." And he said, "I'm famished. I'm going to die." And Jacob thought, "Ooh, I'm gonna cash in on this." He said, "Sell me your birthright for this pot of stew and I'll give it to you." He's being a brother, being a nasty brother. Right? "Give me your birthright." And Esau, because he was so feeling dominated, for a bowl of soup, because his flesh was so loud, gave up everything that he was in line for because his flesh was so stinking loud. Wow. Yeah. And Jacob moved into that place. Yeah. It happened. Yeah, all because of this flesh. I'll tell you what, people that are governed and run by their flesh get into trouble. They don't walk into the glory of God. They're not definitely not used by Him in a great degree. Can't be trusted when you're that way. Amen? Let's get out of that carnal way. Let's get into God time. Let's be like Moses. Go up on the mountain. Come back changed. Come back a lover. Come back a faith giant. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word this morning. We're so blessed, so thankful for all that You've done, for all that You've given to us. We glorify You. We magnify You. We praise You. We honor You. We're so thankful for the Word. Father, You're not trying to beat us up. You're trying to help us. But Lord, Jesus fulfilled the greatest plan ever on the earth. And if He would have gone by His feelings, He'd have never done it. Would have never accomplished it. Lord, we can't keep being so feeling down. Help us, Father. Help us to be changed from babies to maturity. Lord, I don't know about everybody else, but I want to be used. I want to do great things for You, Father. You need people to do things down here. And I want to be one of those people that can be trusted. So, Father, I repent and I make changes in my own life this morning, and I hope everybody else does too. But, Lord, You're not mad at us. You're the encouraging God, just trying to lift us up and to push us forward. But, Lord, we love You this morning. We're so thankful for Jesus. Let's thank Him for Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
Let's just thank Him for Jesus. Thank You for Jesus. Nothing about that was feeling-oriented. Hallelujah. You did it because You loved us. Hallelujah. And the greatest display ever of Your love was sending Jesus. And, Lord, You've made it simple. There was a divide between us and You, Father, but Jesus was the bridge that went over that gap, and He bridged that divide. We're able to get to You now because of Jesus. And You said in Your Word that no man comes to the Father except through Him. So if you're here this morning and you could say, "Pastor, I don't know if when my life is over if I go to heaven. I've been a good person, I've gone to church, and you know, I grew up moral, and I believe my good deeds have outweighed my bad, and I think I'd go to heaven." Let me just tell you, you can't trust in those things. Those things won't get you into heaven. If they would, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for you. Or if you're here, if you're listening on live stream and you say, "Pastor, I don't think I'm qualified for heaven. I'm not good enough. I've never gone to church enough. I've never really been that nice of a person. And really, I've done a lot of awful things." Well, your bad deeds can't keep you out of heaven either. Jesus is the measuring line. Jesus is the measuring tool that we go by. And the Bible says if we call on His name, will be saved. Has nothing to do with how good or how bad you've been, how much church you've gone to, or how much church you haven't gone to. So if you're here this morning, you can say, "Wow, I never saw it like that." And the Bible says you must ask Him into your heart. You must believe on Jesus. You must call on His name. If you're here this morning, you can say, "Pastor, I do believe in Jesus, but I've never received Him. I've never asked my heart." Or if you're listening by live stream, we're going to give you an opportunity. We won't embarrass you. We won't have you come to the front. We won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus and know that you know that you know that you're receiving Him the way the Bible said to, by calling on His name, would you just lift your hand up in the air if you've never done that before, and then put it right back down if you've never, never. If you've done it before, you don't have to do it again. If you've never lifted your hand and never prayed this prayer, is there anybody in this service you want to receive Jesus for the very first time? Anybody at all that's never done that? Father, I don't see any hands of people that have never done it before. If you've already done this, you don't have to raise your hand again. You don't ever have to ask Him into your heart. He will not leave you. You might have situations in your life where people have bailed out on you before and haven't been faithful to you, but God's not like that. So you don't have to get reborn again. He said, I'll come and dwell with you and live with you forever. But if you messed up and do wrong things, just ask Him to forgive you. He didn't leave you when you did something wrong. He didn't leave you when the times got tough. All you need to do is ask for forgiveness. So, Father, I don't see any hands in here, but if by chance there is somebody that was just shy or listening by live stream that needs to receive you, I pray they would not pass from this life until they have made Jesus their Lord. And all they need to do, Father, is just say, Lord, I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, you're dismissed. Good job, buddy.